Well, good evening, everyone. My name's Greg. I'm part of the ministry team here, and it's my honour to be able to share with you from God's Word tonight. Before we get to that in a moment, let me remind you that after our service tonight, you're all welcome to stay with us. We have some drinks and nibbles in the driveway. The drinks are non-alcoholic, so make sure that you do get home safely and that you don't get into trouble. But I hope that you might be able to stay and just share with one another for a few moments after the service. But let me pray for us as we look at God's Word. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the Word. Not just this Word that we have heard read and we will now look at. But most importantly, Lord, for the Word, your Son, whose birth we celebrate tonight. We ask that you might indeed, through your Spirit, bring us peace and hope. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's exactly 200 years today. You might be thinking, Greg, didn't you get your maths wrong? We're talking about 2,000 years ago, aren't we? No. 200 years today. Well, actually, technically not 200 years just yet. 200 years in about 10 hours' time. For on Christmas Eve, 1818, at the midnight service, the carol Silent Night was sung for the first time. Tonight is the 200th anniversary of that carol. We're going to sing it in a few moments' time. But there's some things we know about the carol. It's actually quite a famous carol, as you know. It's quite a popular carol. In fact, interestingly, the carol is part of the United Nations Intangible Cultural Heritage List. It's been translated into approximately 140 languages, and originally it was written in German, as many of you would know. The origins continue to be fascinating. As we know, it was based on a poem which was written by a Catholic priest called Joseph Moore, who served and ministered in Austria. He had a friend called Franz Gruber. Franz, that's a great Austrian name, isn't it? Franz Gruber. Franz was a school teacher and also the organist of the local church. And on Christmas Eve, 1818, just a few hours before the service started, Joseph Moore took a poem that he had written 2 years earlier to his friend Franz and said, "Can you write a tune for me so that we can sing it tonight?" Nothing like working under pressure, is there? Now, there are also some other facts and possibly some fiction that go with this carol. It is true fact that it was written for guitar, not for organ, even though Franz Gruber was an organist. And now the reason for that is not really known. There's many and various reasons, and the most popular reason was that it was believed that the organ was broken. There's actually no evidence for that, but it sounds like a good story, and who's going to let the truth get in the way of a good story? But there's some other fascinating aspects for those of you who are a bit more musical. It was actually written in 6-8 rather than in the 3-4 it's sung in now. Moderata rather than the meditative lullaby that we sing now. That's for the musical ones amongst us. For the literary one amongst us, it had 6 verses, not 3. And for the historical ones amongst us, you might say, oh, how did we get from 6 to 3? Well, what happened was, about 40-odd years after it had been sung for the first time, it made its way to America and to Trinity Church in New York, and there it was translated from German into English, and they only translated 3 verses. And we still sing those verses. Verse 1. Verse 6 and verse 2, in that order. So today marks the 200th anniversary of the first singing of Silent Night. It's almost sort of magical and romantic, isn't it? Silent Night. Holy Night. All is calm. All is bright. Is that true? For instance, Was it a silent night? Let's just think about that for a moment. Now, I'm about to step into some very dangerous territory, and I'm going to do it very quickly and get out of there without getting hurt. This night involved childbirth. We often say that Mary was highly favoured. I'm not sure how far that favour extends. So I'm pretty sure that in many ways it was not very silent. That's all I'm going to say on the topic, and I'm going to get out of there as quickly as I possibly can. It also involved a baby. Now, if you've had anything to do with a newborn baby, you would know that it's not terribly silent. Although we do have this unhelpful carol, you know, Away in a Manger, which talks about Jesus, no crying he makes. That's not true. Anyone who's had anything to do with a newborn baby knows that that's not true. We also have possibly, well, we do have a manger and possibly animals that go with it. We always, you know, even on the screen there, you can see the nativity scene. There always seems to be a little sheep, doesn't there? But, there's, you know, there's possibly other animals, you know, as you can see from the nativity scene up the front here. Sometimes we always put a donkey and a cow, and the camel always seems to get a run. Now, there's actually no biblical evidence that there was any other animals in the scene, but look, there's a fairly good chance that there might have been, so it wouldn't have been very silent either with those animals around. Consider this also. We heard this in the first reading we had from Luke's Gospel. It was a census. And there was no room in the inn or in the guest house. Why? Because the place was packed, probably overflowing. Everyone had to get back there for the census. When you get a little town and you fill it with a lot of people, do you think that's very silent? And then there's the shepherds and the angels. We heard that just a few moments ago from the Gospel of Luke. You know, when the first angel turns up, that's one thing, but when then the thousands of angels turn up after that to sing glory to God in the highest, there is no way that is going to be silent. And then the shepherds, they go and see the baby, and if you listen carefully to the reading, it says, and they came back and they told everybody, and they were praising God. So I reckon there's a fair degree of raised voices in that. There wouldn't have been, shh, I've got a secret for you. So was it a silent night? It involved childbirth, a newborn baby, possibly animals, a census in a full town, shepherds and an angelic choir. I reckon it's fairly safe to say it was not a silent night. So here's a good question to ask. If it wasn't a silent night, was it a holy night? Oh, you see, now that's a whole other question. Because you see, the answer to that one is, oh yes, very much so, definitely yes. See, remember the words of the angel again that we heard just a few moments from Luke chapter 2. But the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We notice that this night involved the arrival of a Saviour in Bethlehem. But not just any ordinary Saviour, not some zealot that was going to try and overthrow the Romans and kick them out. No, the angel says he's not just a Saviour, he's the Messiah. That's the one that God had promised from long ago. That's the one that all the prophecies from the Old Testament were about. That's the one who was going to bring God's plans. That's the one who was going to establish God's kingdom. And of that one, the angel says, he is the Lord. So he's not just any Saviour. In fact, he's not just any Messiah, he is the Lord himself. And so God himself will be the Saviour, will be the Messiah. God himself is the baby born, and he's no ordinary baby, don't we? We know that. Because what else did the angel tell the shepherds? He will be great. He will be the Son of the Most High God. God will give him the throne of David. He will reign forevermore, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Consider the words also of the Apostle John. those famous words, John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word, Jesus that is, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh. We call it the incarnation. And for me, that is the most mind-blowing part of this whole story. It truly is. You see, the other parts of the Christmas story, unique though they are, have a sense of ordinariness to them. Let me explain what I mean by that. Angels turning up to shepherds. Well, it's not something that normally happens. But God could have chosen one night to send some angels just to see how the shepherds would react, with no other purpose. Wise men looking at stars. Absolutely ordinary. That's what they did all the time. That's why they were wise men. That's why they were astrologers. That's what they did. A baby being laid in a manger, in a feeding trough. Now, yeah, okay, that is unique. But remember, this is a poor family who are in a town that's overcrowded because of a census, and they've got nowhere else to stay. And so there's a sense of even that could have happened. But God Almighty, the one who stands outside of space and time, the one who created all that is that we can see and not see, the one who did it all with just the word, the one before whom the mountains melt like wax and the seas roar, for the Lord God Almighty to become human, now that is a different story altogether. That is unbelievable. That is mind-blowing. And that's why this night, although possibly not very silent, was indeed very holy. You see, to be holy means to be sacred, to be set apart, for God to bring about his purposes, to be set apart so that one is untainted, pure and sinless. And I suggest to you that when the Lord God Almighty turns up, it is indeed a very holy night. I put it to you that when God becomes human, that makes it a holy night. And when there is the promise of life and salvation and a kingdom that shall never end, that indeed too makes it a holy night. So this Jesus, so tender and mild, has come into the world, and it is good news. In a Roman outpost some 2,000 years ago, the Creator and Lord of all took on human flesh and drew near to us. Wow. And yet, humanity has rejected God at worst and ignored him at best. And our soul aches with that discord. And so God dealt with that by entering into this world. What did the angels say? I have good news. A saviour has been born. God himself has done all that is necessary. God himself has overturned sin and defeated death and given us new life. And we're about to celebrate that in a few moments' time in Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist. But there's another aspect to this holiness on that night. You see, it's a holy night not just 2,000 years ago, but it can be a holy night for us too, tonight. See, we too can enter into that relationship. We too can grow in our knowledge and love of Jesus. We too can trust in him, the Saviour. For when we put our trust in Jesus, we are, as it is, set apart. That is, made holy. And as we heard again in John's Gospel, God has then given us the right to be called children of God. And if we are set apart as God's children, then we are indeed holy. So this may not have been a silent night, but it was indeed a holy night and continues to be so. So I invite you again to consider this night and its holiness. If you are here tonight and you're what I call a long-term believer, that is, you've been walking with Jesus for a period of time, then I ask, will you again commit yourself to him? The one who took on flesh and drew near to you. And if you're here tonight because you got dragged along by some other family members, then, look, thank you for coming and for not, you know, kicking and screaming too much. Keep searching, keep asking. Seek and you will find, Jesus promises. But if you're here tonight and you are indeed seeking and searching, seeking and searching for hope, for grace, for mercy, for peace in this world full of turmoil, then that is found only in the Holy One. And it's yours, it's mine, simply by trusting in him. No longer a baby laying in a manger. No. No, it's trusting in the one who paid the price and rose victorious. In a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, and you may wish to pray that prayer with me silently. Just silent between you and God, a chance to once again enter into the holiness of this light, of this night, and of the life that God offers. 200 years ago, a new carol was written. To be fair, the idea of a silent night, a bit of a stretch, I reckon. But I'm not worried about that, because the idea of a holy night is a whole other matter, isn't it? 2,000 years ago, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is a holy night. And that fact alone should mean that we don't remain silent about it. But we sing his praises and declare our allegiance. As I said, I'm going to finish in prayer. And if this is something that you're searching for, this holiness that God offers, this new life in Christ, then you might want to just silently pray this prayer with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you made what started as a silent night into a holy night. Thank you for taking on flesh and dwelling amongst us. Thank you for not just dwelling with us, but also saving us. And thank you for giving your life to pay for our sin and rising to new life. I come to you tonight and ask that you might forgive me and make me holy. Amen. Dear friends, if that's a prayer that you've prayed, you might want to chat to me afterwards, or Trev, or someone else that you came with. I pray that tonight is not just a silent night possibly, but indeed has been a holy night as well. In fact, why don't we stand and sing that now? Silent night, holy night.